It's just like so much of that is like samples of like voice notes you send a friend who's having a messy breakup. Mm. And it's like,
yeah,
this is the vehicle. Like, I have a friend in who always jokes like, I left my phone, all my friends are there. So this is, Taurus and DJ Lost Boy, Enter the Sun.
Yeah.
Definitely hear some inspirations in this, yeah. Those drops are so, yeah, like the drops. I mean, like, but what you've done is you've added a bit of spice of like pain to it, and then of course like a lyrical like structure around it. But like, yeah, there's a different tension in yours because it has the drops and this kind of nice pretty pad thing going on. But like in yours, it's like much sharper. Kind of like there's another tension going, but the nature of those drops, they're kind of distorted, little Tim Heckery kind of quality. Like there's some. Yeah, and then I guess both like kind of tending towards beautiful, but you going on this kind of like extra route of like, but what if it also hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And then the beauty's in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good trick.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but they, otherwise they're working with like phone kind of sounds or?
Yeah, some of the other tracks, I just found this so beautiful, so I wanted to show it to you. But some of the other tracks are having a lot of like phone, unanswered phone calls and like speaking voices. And
yeah.
But then their other project from DJ Lost Boy is Malibu, right? That's more like ambient.
You should check it out.
Okay. So, like, what made you study philosophy?
Why?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's always it's a question you have to ask all philosophy students.
So I think I've always been interested in, like, theory and reading. And then I was like, maybe philosophy is something for me. But to be honest, it was not.
No. It's at KU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love reading theory and I'm very inspired by it, but I just didn't found it as my, like, it was not the right place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, the texts we read was at that time not that, many critique points, but one of them was that we didn't critique enough. So I felt like it was coming home when I started studying music. Actually, I thought that was interesting, and we also read some theoretically texts at the conservatory, and so and else I just do it at home.
I mean, like, as someone who works in an institution that claims to be a university, I can definitely say that there's a very particular quality to lots of education that happens in Danish universities.
Yeah.
It's a bit pious.
Yeah.
It's a bit like know your place a lot of the time, which I think is, as you say, you don't get to do the critique.
Yeah.
Where if you're making music, you're constantly doing critique because you constantly go, well, that sucked. Let's do that. Let's try that again. Or like, that's kind of what I was after, but not quite. Or like, and then a different kind of embodiment as well, I guess.
Mm.
So, I mean, I definitely sympathize with that experience you're recounting.
Yeah.
But, do you feel like studying at the conservatory was important, like not just because of the education you get, but was it also relevant in terms of building a network or meeting new people?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of people did
go
there.
Yeah, some of my best friends are from the conservatory. Yeah. So I think it was very important also to have like 3 years where you could, many of my records are produced in that period where I could just like create and create and create. That's very rare to have the opportunity and privilege to do that. So I feel like I learned a lot in that period, both from the school, from the from my friends, but also just like having this privileged period of being able to do music every day.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like a 3-year residency.
Yeah.
There should be more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also, it's like, it's because I studied like music technology when I was like an undergraduate.
Yeah.
But in the UK, where there's lots more like kind of combination of, say, practical and theoretical education in a sort of, like, it's a, you know, you get a regular degree, you go to a regular university, you do that, you can do, whereas here it's like so divided off, like it's in the conservatory and that's a, you know, it's a different ministry that's in charge of that, for example. And I kind of, often think that the theoretical and the practical, like, they don't talk across so well, though it sounds like you had an experience where, like, you actually had space to like indulge both of those, but maybe also because you already came in with that interest, like that you wanted to contextualize it and you wanted to play with concepts and see what they would help you do.
Yeah
I don't know, because I'm just analyzing your life, is that
yeah and I feel like for me it's very exciting to find like new inspiration sources. Right now I'm reading a book by Mindy Soy called The Cyber Feminist Index.
Right.
Do you know Mindy Soy?
No.
Oh, you should check her out. So she has collected It's a really big book. But I was at a talk with her in Berlin with a friend, and yeah, she collected all these articles, notes on cyberfeminism. Mm. So I'm just like reading it. But it's filled with hyperlinks. It's very much like based on like the internet.
Yeah.
So I don't read it from like first page to the last, but more like, ah, this sounds interesting. Mm. Then I'll go here. And
yeah,
it's really an inspiring design too. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a few years ago, Passive Aggressive published the Danish translation of the Xenofeminist Manifesto.
Yeah.
And we did a great event where we got Diane Bauer, who unfortunately has since passed away, to come and talk about that. And it's a really like fascinating way. Also, it's a lot of music people are really into like that particular group as well. And like, so a few of them are musicians. So it's an interesting. And actually the guy that translated it was a sound scholar. This is a very strange combination of things. But yeah, I also like like these resource books where it's just like, yeah, you just jump around and you find the connections of your own because you get to be a rhizome on top of it, I guess. Mm. Yeah. So like, I mean, yeah, so anything stand out when you're reading that though? Like anything kind of like is there a little part from the index that you think you'd like to share, like something that excited you?
I was thinking about bringing the book, but I didn't do it. I mean, it's today.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want you to read from it. But like,
I can read something.
Also, like, if you had, you know, if you don't sell anyone, though, they won't know. We can say the book's here. Like,
so clue. What stands out for me right now is not a specific text, actually. It's more like the way of building a book in that way, and like also how emotionally the internet is for me, and like communication with people through the internet, and like having an online, offline life. And I feel like these questions are very interesting for me right now because I've been living very much also on the internet and on my phone. And what does it mean?
Yeah. Also, like, it kind of means you. Yeah, it's hard to be in a place, I guess, in some way, if you have this connection back all the time. Like, I'm just thinking now that, like, my dad grew up in Canada. When he moved to the UK in the 70s, like, it's just not like able to keep in touch with people. Like, it's you're forced to be in a space and, like, you know, be in that community in a different way, where, like, yeah, you can be between spaces, which is wonderful, but also, yeah, you maybe are a little bit at a distance because you're always in that connected space. And I wonder if that, does that like relate to your experience of being in Berlin, or is it?
Yeah, so I think like I'm very not sure how I feel about how I'm connecting to the online life, actually. Yeah. But I just think it's very interesting. But I think I've never talked so much on the phone as the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why it now has memories, and I feel like connected emotionally to my phone because I had so many nice talks on the phone while I was there with my friends and family here. And like, yeah,
it's a different kind of focus as well. Like,
bring back talking on the phone.
I've been doing this. I've been bringing back talking. Like, just like yesterday I caught up with a friend who I knew like 10, 15 years ago, who like, she now lives in Philadelphia in the US. Like, she's from the US, but like, like, we hadn't talked in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because, like, we just could fall into, like, a sort of rhythm and, like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. I love talking on the phone, but I cannot do video calls. Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like there you see the person and then it becomes really clear that you're not with them in a way.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, also, like, they're kind of surveilling you as well, like, because you see your own face, so you see what you look like to them, and then you feel like them like judging what you're up to, which is like not what happens in a regular conversation, because I have no idea what you're seeing right now, which I fully enjoy, like but yeah, if you're seeing yourself and then you're like aware that if like they're in some sort of awkward angle because of how cameras are, it's a half thought through technology.
Yeah.
Was it difficult also, like, you know, co-running the label from another city?
I think actually it was doable. Because we, under COVID, got used to like doing video calls. But I prefer having like physical meetings. I'm having a meeting later with Mess and Martin Michel, which we are releasing this spring. And we can actually meet physical at my place and have a coffee. It's going to be nice. Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah, it's
going to
be nice.
Say hi to Martin. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to set up this other this Frank Ocean cover that you have sent us. So, is there anything you'd like to tell us about that?
So it was, it's not going to be on the album because I'm not sure I can clear the rights for that. but
this might be an exclusive.
It was when I was trying out if I could actually do a cover. So it was very a fun process of like trying to make a cover of a song I loved.
I think you should try and clear the rights for that.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's worth the energy. Yeah.
Does anyone have a contact to Frank Ocean? I can borrow.
I feel like, listeners to this podcast, get in touch with Aria, and then if you have a contact for the lawyers of Frank Ocean, so we can clear the rights to make it able for them to release those really nice wet drops. Because that was actually kind of an overwhelming one, because that's still a heartbreak kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, also with the whisper singing and the, it's like, it's a lot of pain going on there, right?
Yeah, but the lyrics are so good. Like, inhale. Like, both inhale and then also inhale, which is heaven.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, also that idea of like sucking something in, it's just completely destroying, but also there's an ecstasy in it, and it's kind of death drive stuff, I guess, which is what relationships are, really.
But yeah, with this project of covers and remixes that you mentioned, are you aiming to make it into an album or
I hope so.
Sort of release. Yeah, yeah.
I hope so. I'm contacting people at the moment or artists at the moment, and I've done a cover by Polly and one by Skau. Now I'm trying to get some more stems. Yeah, because I think like it's really funny to make a remix or cover with the stems as a starting point, but then changing it into something completely different, maybe not having the stems in the end, but just having it as like a starting creative starting point.
Yeah, and I also love the idea of also just, you know, covering other people from the scene stuff, not necessarily something famous, because, you know, when you think of cover, you usually think of covering popular tracks.
Yeah, but I feel like it's very much in the rhizomatic and community thinking I have already to make a cover album, and like honoring the work of my friends and the ones in the community.
Yeah, because then it also feels more like a two-way exchange, you know, like also giving them something to,
Right, there's a bunch of like emo bands in like the 2000s who do like releases where they would like be two bands and they'd just do a cover of each other's song. That'd be like the, some sort of like kind of tap on the shoulder, like, if you like us, like them, and like kind of this sort of signal of like, hey, this is, we also have tastes and we want to share it in some way.
Yeah, but rework is really interesting. Also, I also done a rework of my first single called Your Eyes. And I made a, on the, not this record, but the one before, where, I did a rework of Your Eyes called Your Eyes 2. And yeah, it was really fun trying to create another kind of scene for that lyric material.
It's also like it has that, you know, in the way that, say, when you produce a text like the Cyberfeminist Index, you're kind of like producing like a field of knowledge just by making the book. And then like you kind of make a scene that, when you make a record, it kind of makes the scene that it would make sense within. And so if you make a different reworking of that, like it's like a kind of like a time travel, or like a split history kind of thing, like parallel worlds coming up where like, what if this was the first version?
Yeah.
Or like, what if, you know, what if I built around this set of like sounds and feelings and interpretations of it.
Yeah.
It's like really exciting. It's a really exciting creative and generative project, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, and also the idea of reworking material is also kind of a critique of everything should be new constantly. Which is not my belief that it should, but you can actually take a lot from what is already there and just make new stems from it. Or just like, make another angle to it, or build on what is there already.
Which like also has the kind of like feminist critique of like, say, like the original, like original kind of like male genius kind of phallus thing. It's like, no, we have a bunch of things we can give each other without having to be like the owners or masters of areas. Super fascinating. It's going to be, looking forward to the release.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else lined up?
Bearing in mind this will come out in March, so if it's... if it's happening in the next week or so, we can't really promote it via this medium.
From March onwards.
Start of April, I would say you can promote things from there on.
Yeah. So the cover album will be out maybe next year. I'll work on it for a long time. So right now I'm just going to have a release for the Limerence album and play some concerts here in Berlin, and then we have three releases at Rhizome this spring: Missel, Skau, and Lau Andersen. Yeah. And maybe something else will pop up, but that was a little spoiler.
All right.
Right. Is there anything that, you know, that you wish that we'd asked you, which we haven't so far?
Wow. That's a good question. No, I think it has been really nice talking to you. I think we should do it next year and see what's up next year.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay, that sounds like that's a good idea. Well, thanks so much, Aria, for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Passive Aggressive Conversations is a collaboration between The Lake Radio and Passive Aggressive. It's made possible by support from Two Book Funnel, Augustinus Foundation, the Danish Arts Foundation, and CODA. Our theme music was composed and produced by Simon Stina Ramazan Ali.
So, we're going to change gears a lot, but also not a lot, because we're all connected in the fight. So, we're going to hear next from a Dutch organizer, and this is David. He is an Extinction Rebellion rebel, and he started a committee, an action committee called How to Be Able to Trump Fry, Keep the World Trump Free. So, he is a teacher, he's a coach, he has written a novel about the Dutch East Indies. And we're so glad to be growing our solidarity and linking up with local protest movements as well. So please welcome David.
Dear attendees, the only thing we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. And it's a sentence we often quote as an abstract cliché. But nowadays, history stops being that abstract. History suddenly feels very, very close. And let me tell you why. I grew up with the stories from my grandfather. He was a pastor in a church, and during World War II, he joined the resistance. And he told me about the dark nights when trucks drove through quiet streets, followed by military boats echoing, followed by a knock on the door, and a knock on the door meant fear. A knock on the door meant people would disappear. And then the day came that people were rounded up like cattle, just in broad daylight. And here in the Netherlands we call this a razzia. And they said it was about order. They said it was about security. They said it was about protecting the nation. It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In news flashes from Minneapolis, I see armed agents performing these razzias. I see children afraid to go to school because they are being used as a way to catch their parents. I see racial profiling. I see families living in constant fear of that next knock on the door. And the point is, dear people, the point is, the uniforms might be different, and the language might be different, but the mechanisms are disturbingly familiar.
Yes.
Welcome in the world of tyranny and fascism. It's power that targets a vulnerable group. It's power that defines people as a threat, dividing people in us and them. Using language that turns them into a problem. My grandpa told me about the ban on critical newspapers and critical media in 1940, about silencing opposition by force, by threat, by blackmailing. And he told me about a film called The Ewige Jood, The Eternal Jew. It was a movie shown by the Nazis, full of propaganda and hate. And now I ask you, what's the difference between that Nazi film full of racism and spreading images of the Obamas as apes?
Mm-hmm. Woo. Yes. Woo.
I can't see any difference. And let me make this clear for once and for all, this is fascism. I hear politicians speak about invasions, about remigration, about purity, about taking our country back. But this kind of language never has been innocent, never. History shows that fascism didn't start with concentration camps. It starts with words. It starts with the idea that some people belong and others do not. It starts with the normalization of fear. So let me tell you this, and I'm looking to the embassy there. Let me tell you this, Mr. So-called President. Let me tell you this, Mr. Tyrant. Let me tell you this. We have learned our history lessons. We recognize these fascist warning signs, the rhetoric, the scapegoating, the silencing of opposition, and the erosion of democracy. And guess what? We are not afraid. We are not afraid. My grandfather told me that resistance starts when ordinary people like you and me choose to act. Listen up. We can support critical media. We can unmask fake news. We can go voting. And last but not least, no matter how hard it is, we can engage in conversation with people who think differently. And we can explain them that fascism brings them nothing, nothing at all. And yes, that takes courage. It's the courage to say, this is not going to happen on my watch. And it's the courage to say, this is wrong. It's the courage to say, fuck you, tyrant. Fuck you, Mr. President. My grandpa didn't do resistance work to become a hero. It was not for glory. It was not for recognition. He did it because he felt it was the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was a powerful message. And yes.
Zalim zamanlarda önce analar düşer toprağa. Zalim zamanlarda önce analar düşer. Kalsın yarınlara çakmak gözlü çocuklara özgürlük düşer biliriz çakmak gözlü çocuklara özgürlük düşer. Ömürleri yaprak gibi yürekleri toprak gibi analarım size layık yaşamak düşer bizlere analarım size layık yaşamak düşer.
kalalım zaman var da önce analar düşer toprağa zalım zaman var da önce analar düşer.
Dreamed I held you in my arms, but when I woke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head and I cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know. Why?
du das auch? Für eine Sekunde siehst du sie und rastest aus. Sie ist eine von den großen Zauberinnen und dein Herz macht boom, bitte boom, 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 boom. Wattengefühl, schon taucht sie unter im Großstadtgewühl. Und du denkst, muss das denn sein, so ein Frust? Dabei hättest du auf sie nun grad so eine Lust. Frauen, denkt an jeder Mann. Schade, dass man sie nicht alle haben kann. Es ist wie beim Roulette, Stella wie. Alle Nummern auf einmal gewinnst du nie. Du setzt auf die eine, die anderen passiert. Das tut so weh, oh, das tut so weh. Stell dir mal vor, du wärst geboren mit Mandelaugen und gelben Ohren. Irgendwo in China. Oh, was gibt's da Frauen? Oh, was gibt's da Frauen? Oder irgendwo am Bosporus, wo du ohnmächtig wirst von jedem Kuss, den du kriegst vom türkischen Honigweib. Mit dem Munde gemalt auf den nackten Leib. Hey, all fly bitches, I've got the skis. I was standing up or on my knees, 'cause I've got the guarantee to please. And lovers like me don't grow on trees. And if you ain't with it, I'll give you tuition. We'll find that your favorite position. And as we sweat, you'll end up wet. That will be the one night you won't forget. Fest in Budapest, die Oberhammerfrau aus Oberammergau. Und in Gummersbach sagt sie ach, ach, ach. Und in Taj Mahal sagt sie noch einmal. Und in Malmö Nord, da lief es auch sofort. Und in Austria, das ist dann doch nicht wahr. Schnell nach London, dann, da liegt nun auch nichts an. Zu kurz in New York City, oh, what a pity.
If you ain't with it, I'll give you tuition. I will find that the favorite position. But then I step and find another. Cause every girl in the world wants a love that can ride with a guy that can do things inside you. From the front or from behind you.
Women! Yeah, women, we want women, yeah, yeah.
We want women,
ah, we want women.
Yo,
give me the women.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.